The Isser of Tumas Kohanim is one of the most relevant issues that a Kohen faces on a daily basis. The shailas come in many different forms, whether it's visiting the sick, working in a hospital, driving on a road next to a cemetery or over a cemetery, flying in an airplane that's carrying a dead body, flying over a cemetery, attending medical school. There are many different shailas that a Kohen is confronted with, which all relate to the Isser of Tumas Kohanim. Clearly, in the short time that we have together, we can't possibly discuss all of these cases thoroughly. What I'd like to do with you is just to outline briefly some of the basic issues that the post can consider when they decide questions that relate to Tumas Kohanim. The source of the Isser of Tumas Kohanim is a posuk in Parshas Emor. That's source one in the Mikoros. Emor el Kohanim b'nei Aaron v'yamarta lehem l'nefesh lo yitama ba'amav.
These are the minor comments that I mentioned.
That you mentioned,
okay,
yes.
Fine. Everyone got the email.
A Kohen is muzar from becoming tamei to a mace. He's not allowed to become tamei to a mace. There are a few exceptions. First of all, if the mace is not ba'amav, mace mitzvah, the Kohen is mitzvah to become tamei to such a mace. Or one of the Zion Krovim, Kohen is allowed to become tamei to that mace. Perhaps he also has a mitzvah to become tamei to his Krovim. But aside from the Zion Krovim and the mace mitzvah, the Kohen is not allowed to become tamei to any other mace. What does it mean to become tumah? What tumas are we talking about? So there are three basic types of tumah. There's maga, that's touching the davar tumah. Then there's masa, which is carrying the davar tumah even without touching it. And then there's ohel. Ohel comes in two forms. Either if the mace is on top of the kohen or the kohen is on top of the mace, they're mahil on each other. Or there's something that's called ohel hamshocha. That means that the mace and the kohen are sharing the same roof. That's also tumas ohel. These are the three basic ways that a kohen could become tamei to a mace, and he's prohibited from doing so. He has to prevent himself from becoming tamei to a mace in any one of these three ways. The first interesting issue that the poskim address is whether the isser of tumas kohenim applies even to mase akum. Should we say that the Isser of Tumas Kohanim only applies if the Kohen is going to become tamei to a Mace Yisrael, or even if the Mace is a non-Jew? So most poskim assume that when it comes to Maga or Masa, there really is no chiluk. That even the Mace Akum, a Kohen is not allowed to touch. He can't touch a Mace Akum, can't carry the Mace Akum, even if he's not going to touch him. But regarding Tumas Oel, that's a big machlokas. It's a machlokas Tanoim. It appears in different sugyas, the Gemara in Yevomis, on Samach Aleph, and in other places. Quotes Machlokas Tanoim whether Kohanim or Muzar in Tumas Ohel of an Akum, and some Machlokas Rishonim. Machlokas Machaber Amohar Paskin. Machaber in Yeredei and Simin Shinai in Beisiv Beis writes, this is in Source 4, Kivrei of the Kochavim Nochon Lizar HaKohen Milelech Alehem, Hago Aval Bishyesh Mekilin. Machaber says it's better not to become Tomei. He's not touching the mace, he's not carrying the mace, but he's mahil on the mace. So the Machaber says you shouldn't do that either, quotes from Taisus in Bav Metzia. But the Ramah says there are those who are mekel, the Rambam. It's interesting, the Ramah, Me'ikar Adin, follows this, the Rambam, the Sfaradi Posek, and the Machaber Paskins like Taisus. Interesting, there are a few examples of that in Shulchan Aruch. But the Ramah concludes, V'nochon lahachmir, but one should be machmir. So even though Me'ikar Adin, the Ramah, is mekel, like the Rambam, but he really... He says it's appropriate to be machmir like the Mechaber. So at first glance, if even the Ramah is machmir, there doesn't seem to be any room for kula. We have to be machmir that a kohen shouldn't become tamei to mase akam as well, not only maga masa, but even ohel. It's not so clear. There's a comment that the Dagol Mervava has on the side of the Shulchan Aruch. This is quoted briefly in the Pischei Tshuva in Source 6. He wants to suggest that perhaps there's room to be makel based on a rivet. Ravid, not in Hilchas Tumas Kohanim, but in Hilchas Nazirus. We know that a Nazir is not allowed to become Tomei either. There are comparisons between Nazir and Kohen. So the Ravid is a fascinating shita in a sugi that's called Tuma B'chiburin. If the Nazir or the Kohen is touching Tuma, so then the rule is that he's allowed to touch more Tuma. There's no problem, there's no Isser of Tuma when it's B'chiburin. If he's still B'chibur, if he's still touching the first Tuma, so then the Kohen and the Nazir are allowed to touch more Tuma. The question is, if they're Pirish, if they separated themselves from the first Tuma, are they allowed to touch another tumah on the same day? According to the Rambam, once they're pirish min ha-tumah, it's also for them to touch another tumah. But the Ravid disagrees. The Ravid says, as long as they're not going to be Mosif Tuma al Tumasam, meaning they're not going to add to the Tuma, they're not going to delay the Hazar of Shlishi Ushvi. It's not like they touch the mace on day one, on Sunday, let's say, and then they're going to touch a different mace on Tuesday. They're still Tomei, but then they have to start the count again. They can't do Hazar, Shlishi, and Shvi until they start the count once again. The Ravid says that that as long as they're not Mosif Tumal Tumasam, even if they're Piresh, right, they can still touch the Tumah. They're not Mosif Tumal Tumasam, so there's no Issa. That's the sheet of the Ravid. That's in source 2 to 3, right? 2 and 3, the Rambam and the Ravid there. The Rambam says that when is it Osir for the Kohen? He gets Malkus every time that he touches a maze. Bamedvar Mamurim, Bishanitmo Piresh Vachazavinaga, Onasa O Hehil. If he was Piresh, so then he gets more Malkus. So says the Ravid on that, Tumah Vatumah Filu Piresh Vachazavinaga Potter. Ravid says even if he's Piresh, he's still Potter. Just to add, as long as he's not Mosif Tumal Tumasam. Zok the Ravid. Says the Raive, Bizman Azet Kohanim are Tmei Meis. We're all Tmei Meis. We're Becheskas Tmei Meis. You don't know where people are buried. Ain Aleim Ot Tuma, Ot Chiyuv Tuma, V'Hamachayev Osam Olav Lahavi Rai. Says the Raive, if you want to be Machayev Kohanim for becoming Tmei, you have to bring the proof. Meaning, once we assume that we're all Becheskas Tuma, all the Kohanim are Tmei, so then they're not Mosif Tumal Tumasam. Because anytime that they're being, that they're Nogea b'meis, so that they're mile on the mace, they're becheskas tumah from today. So they're not Mosif Tumal Tumasam. So therefore the Ravid says that they're not going to get Malkus. Not going to get Malkus. So up to Dogo Mervova, from the Ravid Lechori, you get the impression that not only are they not going to get Malkus, but there's no Isser. They're not Mosif Tumal Tumasam, since Kohanim Atmei Meis Bizmanazeh, there shouldn't be any Isser for them to touch a mace, there shouldn't be any Isser for them to become tummy to a mace. So the Dogel Mervava says, look, we're not going to paskin like the Ravid. He's a Chiddush. The Rambam argues with him. But at least it can be Mitzarev, the Ravid, to a Svek Sveka, by Meisei Akum. According to the Ravid, since Kohanim Atmei Meis, there's no Isser of Tumas Kohanim Bizman Azeh, they can become Tomei to a Meis. Even if we're not going to paskin like the Ravid, but the Ramah says, Me'ikar Adin, there's no Isser of Tumas Kohanim by Tumas Ohel of Meisei Akum. So at least for Meisei Akum, we should rely on this Raiva to be Mitzayim for Svek Svek with Ramah to say the Kohanim are not Muzer and Tumas Oel of Meisei Akum. That's the Dogma of his big Chiddush on the side of the Shulchan Aruch. But even he was Chozebo. At the end, he writes that maybe the Raiva only meant there's no Chi of Malkus for the Kohen if he's not Mosif Tumal Tumas. But maybe there still is an Isser. The Rambam is talking about Malkus, so the Ravid is Masig on the Rambam. So the Dogma Mevava says, maybe the Ravid was only Masig on the Rambam regarding Malkus. Who says he's Masig even for Isser? Maybe the Ravid admits to the Rambam that there really is an Isser to become Tomei, even if the Kohen is not Mosif Tumal Tumasam. But there's no Malkus. There's no Malkus. So Malkus Bismana says is irrelevant to us, but the Isser is the key. So maybe even the Ravid holds there's an Isser Derais. The Pistre Tshuva quotes the Chasam Sofer, who goes even further. He says he went hunting and he found a Ravid in Tmim Dayim. The Ravid in Tmim Dayim, Paskins like the Rambam, that you even get Malkus, that the Kohen will get Malkus if he's Chazav and Itma, even after he's Pirish. Even if he's not Mosif Tumal Tumasa, just as long as he's Chazav and Pirish, he can get Malkus. So according to the Chasam Sofer, the whole Ravid doesn't exist Bichlal. It's not that the Ravid. No, it's not that we misunderstood the Ravid, it's that ultimately the Ravid himself was Chozebo. Are you paskins like the Rambam? So if the Ravid paskins like the Rambam, or the Ravid really holds there is an Isser, it's just there's no Chi of Malkus, so then clearly there's no way you can be Mitzarev the Ravid to a Svek Sveka with the Ramah to say that in Meisei Akum, Kohanim can be Metamei Be'oel. Some wanted to suggest that maybe based on this Ravid, we can be Mata Kohanim going to medical school. What's the issue of Kohanim going to medical school? So we know that all medical students have to take a course in human dissection. So the question is, how can the Kohen do this? Even if the Kohen is going to be careful not to touch the mace, let's say he'll get his cadaver partners to do the dissection for him. He might want to do that anyway, even if he's not a Kohen. But let's say he's not squeamish and he's willing to do it, but because he's a Kohen, he doesn't want to violate the Isser Tumas Kohanim. And he knows that Rov Poskim hold that at least B'maga, the Kohen is Muzer from becoming Tomei, even to a Meis Akum. Now, most of the cadavers are non-Jews. They tell a horror story that once, I'm not sure if it's even true or not true, but tell a horror story once that tag of the cadaver was left on, and someone saw it, said Goldberg. So the Kohen who was in the room ran out. And the other people, they had to stop the Zechi of Kvura. I'm not sure. It's hard to believe that they left the tag on the cadaver. They tell such a story. So even if the cadaver is a non-Jew, he doesn't look Jewish by any stretch of the imagination. As you can tell from the cadaver that he doesn't, that he's not Jewish. Sometimes it's not so clear, even that is not clear as much as that. But most cadavers we can assume are non-Jewish if you don't see the tag. So some wanted to say that as long as the Kohen gets his lab buddies to do the actual dissection and he doesn't do Maga Hames, the fact that he's Be'ohel with the Mesei Akum, maybe that shouldn't be a problem. Maybe we should make the Svek Sveka that the Dagol Mervava wanted to suggest between the Ravid and the Ramah, that maybe, according to the Ravid, since Kohanim are Becheskas Tmei Meis Bezman Hazeh, so maybe there's no issue for them to become Tamei Bechlal, because they're not most of Tumal Tumasam. Every day they're Betumah. So if they become Tamei, they come to the Ohel HaMeis, they're not being most of Tumal Tumasam, so maybe there's no issue of Tumas Kohanim Bechlal. And even if you want to go like the Rambam, that there is an issue of Tumas Kohanim Bezman Hazeh, but the Ramam, Ikar Adin, says that there's no Isser of Tumas Kohanim Be'ohel, at least B'meisei Akum. That's what some wanted to suggest, to be Metzarif Esvek Sveka with the Ravid and the Ramam. So this is highly questionable. First of all, the Ravid is a Das Yochid. What's more, even the Ravid, right? The Ravid is a Das Yochid, the Ramam disagrees with him. But even the Ravid may have only meant this by Malkus, as the Dagom Revav himself says, as the Chasam Sofer adds, the Ravid himself may have been Chozebo, the Tmim Tmim Daim. The way that the Piskei Tshuva present, the way that the Piskei Tshuva quotes from the Chasam Sofer, it sounds like he was Chozebo.
The Rambam himself was Matir Be'olah.
Who?
The Rambam himself said it's okay Be'olah.
Correct, but in Shulchan Aruch we paskin like the Ramah. The Ramah says Nachon Lahachmis. So
even.
Okay. The Shulchan Aruch also, right, everyone, Bein Sfarad and Bein Ashkenazim, said that you're supposed to be Nizah. So, the Ravid, first of all, is a Das Yachid, the Rambam argues, and even the Ravid, we're not so sure. The Ravid may have said this only by Malkus, not by Isser. The Ravid himself may have been Chozeb on the Tmim Deim. Rav Moshe has a tshuva in Yeridei, in Chela Gimel, Simen Kufnun Hei, where he says that the Mekel based on the Ravid is highly questionable. He says you shouldn't be Somech on this Ravid at all. Don't be Mitzarefit to a Svek Sveka. He goes even further. He says there are some people who claim that it's pikuach nefesh. The Kohen has to go to medical school because pikuach nefesh, who knows, he might have to save a mace. Moshe says that it's incorrect. He has very strong language. He says it's hevel ushtus. Okay. Moshe talking. He says he thinks it's incorrect for two reasons. He says, first of all, even if there were no doctors in the world, a person is not mechuyav to become a doctor just to save a chola. A person is obligated to do whatever he can with the resources that he has, with the intelligence that he has. So if someone is a doctor and he finds an ill person, he finds a chola of course he's obligated to try to save him. But to say that he has to go to medical school to become the doctor to be able to save the chola, that's quite a jump. A person is not mechuyav to go into finance so that he'll be able to make a lot of money and he'll be able to give tzedakah. It's a big mitzvah to support yeshiva, but you don't have to go into business to be able to have the wherewithal, to have the resources to give tzedakah. So it's not true. A kohen is not mechuyav to become a doctor either. It's just so he'd be able to save the cholim. Ve'od v'chichaser rofim ba'olam. We don't have enough doctors in the world. We have non-Jewish doctors. We have even Jewish doctors. They're just not kohenim. So there are plenty of Yisraelim who are rofim. So it's very hard to be makel for a Kohen who wants to go to medical school. Very hard to be makel to say that he could take anatomy and go into the cadaver lab, even if he's only going to stand there because he'll violate the issue of Tumas Kohenim by coming into the OL with the mace. And this is true not only about medical school, it's true for dental school as well. They tell me that the dental students take Daikshin together with the medical students. It's an issue not only for medical school, but for dental school as well. What might change this is the fact that nowadays there are fewer and fewer people who want to become cadavers. I mean, that sounds strange. Yeah, no one wants to become a cadaver, but my point is fewer people want to donate their body, la'acha misasam, for the benefit of science. So that has forced some medical schools to institute what they call virtual anatomy, anatomy on computer. It's certainly not as good as doing it in the flesh, but it's something. So there are some medical schools that feel blessed Breira, there's nothing they can do. So they'll teach it virtually. At least they'll get some kind of course out of it. So if a Kohen can find such a medical school that might solve the problem somewhat, right? At least the medical school problem. There are other issues that we have to talk about, working in a hospital. But at least the medical school issue might be solved, or the dental school issue might be solved by virtual anatomy. What's the din? Is a Kohen allowed to visit sick people in a hospital? So there are different types of sick people. Some cholim are so sick that they're called a goses. What does a goses mean? So it's generally translated to mean that someone who we expect, the doctors expect, that within 3 days he's probably going to pass away. No one really knows when a person is going to pass away, but that's the estimate of the doctor. So once a person is in a state of gesisa, that we're afraid he might pass away within the next 3 days, so the question is the Kohen allowed to visit such a person? That's a Machogas Machabra Amor. In Simon Shin Ayin, in Suah 7. Second line of the Machabra, it says, Osili konis labaya sheyesh bo goses. The Machabra is machmir. V'yesh matirin, says the Ramah. The Ramah again is megil, v'tov lahachmir. But again, he's machmir, tov lahachmir. It's interesting, both Machabra Amor is over here, right? The Machabra meikra adin is machmir. The Ramah is Megel in both cases, but then he says that you should be Machmer. What's the Chumer based on? So some of the Achronim explain it's based on a Chashash, that we're just afraid if the person is within 3 days before passing away, that's what the doctors think. They never know, but that's what the doctors think. So we're afraid that the Goses might die. If the Goses dies, so then the Kohen is going to become Tamei to a Meis. He doesn't know. He doesn't know exactly when the Shas HaMis is going to be. So it's not a Din, Iker Adin. A Kohen is not allowed to come in contact with the Goses. A Goses is not a mace, he's alive. But the Chashash is that the Goses might die, and that's why the Kohen shouldn't be in the same Ohel as the Goses. Sometimes a person is visiting someone in the hospital who's not a Goses. Is that permissible? So technically speaking, the visiting the person is permissible. The problem could be somewhat different, and that is that we're afraid there are other cholim in the hospital who might pass away. So therefore, it might be also for the Kohen to visit someone in the hospital who's not a goses. We hope he went for hip replacement surgery, whatever the case is. The woman is in the hospital to deliver a baby. It might be also to visit sick people in the hospital, even if we expect that they'll emerge from the hospital, because there are cholim in the hospital who do pass away. There are many wards in the hospital where there are cholim who do pass away. The emes, according to this idea, if we take this problem seriously, it might be also for a Kohen to work in a hospital. Unless he can work in a wing where he's not going to be exposed to the wards, he won't come near the cholim in the hospital who might pass away. Serious issue: is it mutter to visit the sick in the hospital? There are cholim in the hospital, and people are passing away each and every day in the hospital, unfortunately. Yes. Okay, I'm going to talk about it. Let's first just talk generally, and then we'll talk about specifics. Yes?
When it comes to defining Ohel with a hospital, it's just the building?
Okay, so we're going to talk about that in greater detail also. Okay. So, aside from Tumas Ohel per se, which means that if you're on the same floor, let's say a person is on the same floor as the mace. He's in a ward where someone passed away, and he's on the same floor. So, if he's in a room with the door open, and then the door is open in the room with the mace, so then we assume that the roofs of the hallway and the roofs of the different rooms are all mitzdarif together, because the doorway is a pesach. So since there's an ohel in room number one, and there's an ohel in room number two, and there's an ohel in the hallway, so then all of these ohelim, all of these roofs can be mitzdarif, all the ceilings can be mitzdarif together. And we view this as though the Kohen is in the same Ohel as the Mace. What makes it more complicated, though, is aside from Tumas Ohel per se, there's another halacha, and that's called Sof Tuma Lotzeis. That even if the Kohen and the Mace are not in the Ohel right now, but if the Mace is expected to go to that Ohel, then there's still a problem for the Kohen to be in that Ohel. Let's take, for example, the case in which a Mace passes away in one particular room, but the door is closed. The door was closed. They were dealing with the mace in some way or form, they close the door. Normally the doors in the hospital, I think, are left open. They like to leave all the doors open. Except if someone is visiting, they want to close the door, they're not going to stop you from doing it. But I think the nurses leave the doors open to the rooms. But let's say they close the door. So technically speaking, if a Kohen is in another room visiting a sick person, even if his door is open, he's not in the same Ohel as the mace, because the door to the mace's room is closed. Yeah, but the problem is they're going to take the mace out of his room at some point in time. So the mace is going to be ba'ohel. The mace is going to go into the ohel of the hallway. So even though he's not there right now, but sof tum Allah says the tum is going to leave from its room and it's going to go into the hallway. That's also a problem. That's the Shulchan Aruch and Simin Shinai and Aleph Zivdalid, source 8. That if a mace is in a building and there are different overhangs to the building, we don't know exactly which overhang they're going to take the mace out through. Right? There's no main doorway. They could take him out anyway, through the window, through the doors. There are multiple doors. So then the tumah can go out any which way. If a kohen is underneath any one of those overhangs, he becomes tameh. Says the Ramah, hatam ishim daho v'sof hatumah latzeh is derech sham. Roen ke'ilu yatsa. The rule of sof tumah latzeh says that if we expect the mace to be taken out through a certain derech, or if we don't know which way is going to be taken out, we have to be machmer for each and every overhang. So then sof tumah latzeh says that we treat it as if the tumah is right there. That the tumah is there right now. So the tumah is there right now. So then the kohen is in the same oil as the mace, even if the mace is not actually there, because sof tumah latzeh. In fact, the Ramah continues that there are some kohenim who are machmer not to go out of the sha'ar ha'ir. The sha'ar ha'ir is not connected to the building that the kohen is in, but the gate of the city, the George Washington Bridge, let's say, right? That's the sha'ar ha'ir. Maybe there's sof tumah latzeh there as well. People are getting buried outside the city, so the kohen should be concerned that since sof tumah latzeh, he can't pass under the shahar ha'ir either. Many are makel for that. Many assume that the shahar ha'ir is not a problem because it's not really connected to the place where the mace is found right now. There's a hefsek avir between the two. So we only say sof tumah latzeh from the place where the mace is to any other ohel that is connected to the first ohel. But if you have to go outside, so then it's a break, and the rule of sof tumah latzeh is not going to apply. But getting back to the hospital situation, even if the door to the mace's room is closed, based on the rule of sof tumah latzeh, the kohen can't be in the hospital, it couldn't be on the floor bechlal, because sof tumah latzeh is to the hallway. So even if the mace is not in the hallway, we treat it as if the mace is in the hallway. So the kohen is, if the kohen will go out to the hallway, he'll be be'ohel with the mace, mitzad adin of sof tumah latzeh. That's quite a big chumrah. It's quite a very important halacha. Because it would come out that if they're going to take the mace to a certain elevator, and the kohen can't take that elevator from the ground floor. Let's say the mace is located on the 10th floor, but they're going to take him out to that elevator. So the kohen wouldn't be able to enter into that elevator to go to the 5th floor. Because ultimately, that elevator is going to carry the mace. So as long as the person has passed away, and he's going to come out through that elevator, so then it's sof tumah latzeh. It's in that elevator. So the kohen, even if he's not going to be on that floor bechlal, but it's the same elevator, they're going to share the same roof, and the kohen shouldn't be allowed to go into that area. Quite a big chumrah. So someone is... Yes? Yes. Yes, if no one has passed away, then the rule of sof tumah latzeh is not going to apply. Right. So it is only a suffix. We don't know if someone has actually passed away. Though it's a good, it's a reasonable doubt that there is someone who's going to pass away in the hospital each and every day. The question is whether he has passed away when you're there.
But sof tumah latzeh wouldn't start at that point, or only start at when the person actually...
Of course, but if you visit someone in the hospital and you stay there for a couple of hours, there's a good chance that someone in the hospital did pass away. I'm not sure if they took them out of the room yet, but it could happen. So someone has suggested that maybe the rule of sof tumah latzeh doesn't apply to Meisei Akum. We said before that there's a kula by Meisei Akum. Maybe sof tumah latzeh doesn't apply to Meisei Akum. Many different achronim say this. The Stechemed quotes achronim like this, the Sefer Gesher Achayim, the Tiferes Yisrael. There are many different achronim who suggest this. It's not in Shulchan Aruch, but some achronim want to say that maybe the rule of sof tumah latzeh doesn't apply to non-Jews. Why not? So they explain in different ways. Some explain based on the comment that the Yeshuas Yaakov has. Yeshuas Yaakov says that the rule of sof tumah latzeh only applies if there's a chi of kvura. There's no chi of kvura for goyim. It might be a proper thing to do. You know, chalila, we're not gonna be mevaza the mace, but the chi of kvura applies to mace Yisrael, not to mace Akum. So it could be that the holding of sof tumah latzeh doesn't apply. Sof tumah latzeh means that we expect that you're gonna. Since there's a chiyuv to take the mace out to bury him, so therefore, sof tumah latzeh means that it's as if he's there. If there's no chiyuv to take him out, even though some people might take him out, there's no chiyuv, so maybe the holding of sof tumah latzeh doesn't apply. Rabbi Shechter, in his Sefer Be'ikvei Atzon, has a very beautiful piece about Tumas Kohanim, in Simen Lamed Hei. So he wants to suggest a different malach. He says, Poshet, sof tumah latzeh itself is only a chumr. Rashi and Beitza on Daf Yud Amud Aleph is a Hagah from the Ranchberg there on Rashi. It's theorist in Rashi. In some places Rashi says that Self Tamalot is Halachal Moshmi Sinai. In some places he says that it's an Issa Rabban. So if it's only an Issa Rabban, it's the Chumra Ba'alma. Rabbi Shachter wants to say, if it's only a Chumra Ba'alma, look, we know, may say Akum, Tumas Ohel Ba'akum is only a Chumra as well. So who says you have to be Mitzar if these two Chumras together? The whole idea of Self Tamalotis itself is a Chumra, and Tumas Ohel Ba'akum is also only a Chumra. So you don't have to be machmir for two chumras together. That's Rabbi Shechter's simple explanation. And he actually, it seems like he writes Me'ikar Adin that you can be somech on this lakula. That's Rabbi Shechter's sheet. And not everyone wants to be mekum. Some people lechatchila, some poskim lechatchila, feel that you should be machmir for self tamalatis, even by goyim. Shasat chak, in certain extenuating circumstances, maybe there's room to be mekum. Lechatchila though, maybe one should be machmir. So, the room for kula here might be that since you don't even know that there's a mace there. See, if you knew there's a mace there, so then you're talking about Sof Tomolotzeis by Goyim. But if you don't even know that there's a mace there, and you're in an area where Rov Cholim are Goyim, Bechlal, we don't know how they're taking the mace out of the building. I think they use service elevators now. They don't use the main elevator anyway. So perhaps room to be Mekel Bizman Hazeh. There's more room to be Mekel because, first of all, it's only Sof Tamalotis by Goyim. You don't even know that that someone has passed away, and you're not even so sure that he's going to be coming out to your particular ward. I guess to go to a ward where there are many cholim, many terminally ill patients, there might be more room to be Machmir because then there's more of a possibility that there'll be a mace there. There's another issue, though, that you have to consider before you visit sick people in the hospital. That is, aside from the mesim in the hospital, whether we're talking about Tumas Ohel or we're talking about Sof Tamalotzeis, there are skeletons that are kept in the hospital. Right? Skeletons in the closet, you know, there really are skeletons in the closet. It's very common that the departments, the different medical departments, whether it's radiology or surgery, they keep a skeleton in the closet, or sometimes displayed in full view, in order to train residents, so that they can look at the anatomy, at the bones. The problem is, if they have a full skeleton, which very often they do, they only have a part of a skeleton, so that might not be metame. It's a shaila. There are shiurim to talk about. If it's a full shidra, gulgoles, or half a skull, half a shidra, half a spine, it's complicated exactly what the shiur is, but very often they have a full skeleton there. So that could be a real serious issue. This is not a sof tumalotzeis problem. This could be a real tumas ohel b'meisei akum. I don't think that the skeletons are a Jewish mason. I think we can assume that Rove people who give their skeletons for science are non-Jews. But this could be a very serious issue because the popular custom in the hospitals is to leave the doors open. They leave the doors open to every different floor. And many, many hospitals have a big atrium at the entranceway to the hospital, which lead up to all the floors. So just figure it out. Just do the math. Right? You don't have to do math here. Right? Just if you enter into the entrance of the building, into the atrium, you can see up to all the floors, and you can even see sometimes that the door is open to the ward. So just by entering into the hospital, if the door to the ward is open and there are skeletons there, forget about whether there are cholim who might pass away. Just the very fact that there are skeletons there might be a serious problem of tumas akum ba'ohel for a kohen. So forget about whether other people are passing away in the hospital or not. You're coming to visit someone who Baruch Hashem is doing well and he's expecting to be discharged. But it might be also to visit him because you'll be betumas ol mamish, not just sof tamalotzeis, mamish ba'ol with the meisei akum, with the skeletons. Wow. Quite a chum. So I know someone who didn't want to go when his wife was giving birth. He was a kohen. He didn't want to go to the hospital to help his wife give birth. He sent his mother-in-law along instead of him. She probably would do a better job than he would do anyway. But he didn't want to go because of the Tumas Kohanim issue. Rav Moshe writes in a tshuva that perhaps there might be room to be making. This is in the handout, actually. It's in number 9. He writes that maybe Letzorach Godol there's room to be making. Letzorach Godol, because of Shalom Mishpach, he says, Mishum Shalom Mishpacha, Tzaro HaGodol of the Mevaker. Let's say the Mevaker is going to be Betzar Godol and he can't visit the Chol in the hospital. Mishum Shalom Mishpacha, if he's not going to visit, so people in the family are going to think ill of him. his wife is going to think ill of him. His wife is not going to think ill of him because, you know, they're a couple together. If they make this halachic decision together, she's not going to feel bad. But his in-laws might not be so happy with him, and other people in the family might look estranged at him. So maybe there's room to be mekel. That's a tzorach gadol. So then perhaps you can be mitzarif, the Ravid and the Ramah together, lekula, in such a case, that maybe there's no tumas akum, there's no tumas ohel ba'akum anyway, and maybe kohanim bizman azeh, there's no issur of tumas kohanim b'chalal, so maybe it could be mitzarif, the svek sveka, b'mokom a tzorech gadol, like to visit someone in the hospital. I think Bam is taking one's wife to give birth or visiting her after delivery is actually much more kal, because the labor delivery floor is the only floor that is absolutely locked. You have to get in. You have to tell them that you're coming, and it's a complicated procedure. You have to press a special button to get in. It's not so simple to get in. So if there's one floor that's going to be closed, that's the floor. So that might be a lot more cow, because we can assume that if the floor is closed generally, it's only going to be open when someone presses the button. So even if the elevator door is open, how frequently is it going to be that the door to the ward is going to be open at the same time that the elevator is open? So perhaps there might be room to be mekel in that situation. Yes?
Can we say even more, perhaps, that the fact that the Kohen, like say a Kohen's close family member, is extremely, extremely sick, like the father or mother or something, and you know that the emotional support of having a son there. Well,
exactly. Great. Absolutely. Absolutely. So in that case, the tsar gadol of the chola might be mata. Sure. Look, if it's pikuach nefesh, then there's no question that it's mata. Right? Pikuach nefesh is docha everything. But even if it's not pikuach nefesh, but it'll help. Right? He's a chola sheim bo sakona maybe, but it'll still help. It'll still help him. It'll make him feel better. So then again, Rav Moshe's kula is definitely... is definitely something that you can rely on in such a circumstance. This issue of being in the same ohel as a skeleton can occur not only in a hospital, it can occur in many other contexts. A number of years ago, the Sfarim Seal was held in the basement of First Hall. The Sfarim Seal has gone through many different Gilgulim over the years. I think it originally started in Mus Hall, what was originally called Klein Hall, and then it moved for a while. It was much smaller then. Then it moved for a while to the basement of the first hall, then it had a Gilgul in Belfer on the fifth floor, and then it moved to Weisberg Commons, where it's been for a number of years. So when they had the Sfarim sale on the first hall, so people were going to buy Sfarim. They noticed that the biology lab is right outside the room where the Sfarim sale was taking place, and there's a skeleton in the bio lab. I think the biology lab has been moved to Belfer now. But it used to be in the basement of first hall. So some of the Kohanim asked, can they go to the Sfarim sale? This is a new idea. There's an Issa to go to the YU Sfarim sale. Not because of the Sfarim, but because of the bio lab that's next door. So the emphasis, I don't think it was a shyla. I'm not sure if the skeleton was actually real. I think it may have been made out of plastic. But it's something that you have to consider. Some were saying that if you'll ask them going to the Sfarim sale, forget the Sfarim sale. The way the first hall is configured, if the door to the elevators is open, if the door to the stairwell is open, so maybe you won't be able to go up to Shia. Because then if you take the stairwell, people are taking the stairwell constantly from the ground floor first hall, that opens up the door to the stairwell, which leads downstairs. So if the door to the elevators, right, the ground floor, underground floor in first hall, if the door is open to the elevator, so then it's one ohel to the bio lab. So if the door to the bio lab is open, then you can't go to Shia. It's a new chumrah. Again, I don't think there was room for the chumrah. I'm not sure what the psak was in the end, but I don't think the skeleton was real, so it wasn't such an issue. But the high school dinner, I was told the high school dinner was held at the Museum of Natural History a couple of years ago. And for those in the know, the Museum of Natural History has mummies in it. So some people asked whether this could be done. They asked before they actually had the dinner. The high school spoke to Rabbi Schechter and tried to figure out a way that they could. They wanted to have it in the Museum of Natural History. I'm not sure why Bedavka they wanted that location, but they did for some reason. So they asked Rabbi Schechter what to do. Right. How can they avoid being in the same ohel? If they're Kohen and we're going to come to the high school dinner, how can they avoid being in the same ohel as the mummy? So he told them which doors they have to keep closed and gave them whatever guidelines they had to use in order to keep the Kohanim tohar. So it's something that you have to keep in mind. The point is, this shaila can come up in many different forms. You have to be sensitive to the shaila so that you can deal with it appropriately when it does come up. Yes?
Just to clarify, the issue with opening your doors open, that doesn't have to do with soft tumalatzes, that's different?
It might not. It could be more than soft tumalatzes. If the tum is actually there, it's not soft tumalatzes. Right? If the skeletons are there, so even if you're sharing just the ceilings from where you are to the skeletons, that's not soft tumalatzes. They're not going to take the skeletons out of the building. But you're still in the same ohel as the skeletons. So that could be a problem of tumas ohel mamish. Not tumas ohel besof tumalatzes.
You know, it's a different room.
Different room doesn't matter because the door is a pesach. As long as there's a poseach tefach, if the door is open, so then there's a pesach between the different areas, and that can bring the tumah from roof to roof. And it's viewed as though it's one single roof. Yes?
Should you have a double door scenario where one will always be closed when the other one's open, and this would not
be much, much better, right. Then this would not be a problem. There still could be a sof tumalatzes problem, but if you're not going to take the item out, so then there will not be a regular tumas ohel problem. Another popular question that's raised is whether a pregnant eishes kohen is allowed to become tameh to a mes. This is very common. Let's say an Eishes Kohen is pregnant and there's a Levi in the family. Can she go? This is the best way to announce that one is pregnant, by not going to the Levi. So it's a Shaila that comes to the wife would like to go to the Levi. Let's say she's not in her seventh month when everyone can see that she's pregnant. She's in her second month, or sometimes her third month. She doesn't want people to know yet, so she's very sensitive to that. Can she go to the Levi? Can she come into the Ohel HaMeis or not? So the Shach quotes a famous Sefer Rokeach in Suas 10. The Sefer Rokeach writes that the Eishes Kohen Muberes is allowed to come into the Ohel HaMeis because it's a Svek Sveka. Sofek Nefel, Sofek Ben Kayama. Vimtim Tzilomer Ben Kayama, Sofek Zohar, Sofek Nekeva. You don't know two things. You don't know, first of all, if the Uber is going to be a Ben Kayama. If he's a Nefel, so then the Issa Tumas Kohen doesn't apply to him. But if he's a Ben Kayama, so then it might even apply in the womb. Even if he'll be a Ben Kayama, he might be in a Keva. This is Tumas Kohen, it doesn't apply to women, it only applies to men. So the Rokeach is willing to be Mekah, based on a Svek Sveka. Writes the Pischei Tshuva, quotes the Mogen Avraham, who asked, what do you need the Svek Sveka of the Rokeach? I'll give you a simpler reason why it should be Mutter for the Eishes Kohen Muberes to come into the Ohel HaMeis. It's Tara Blua. The rule is Tara Blua is not Matame. If you have something that is Tahar, let's say a ring, or something that's Tahar, that's swallowed up in a person, and they go into the cemetery, that ring doesn't become Tame. That's Tara Blua. It's Tara that's swallowed up in the body of someone else. So, Frekta Magen Avram, the Uber is Tara Blua in his mother. So, if the Uber is swallowed up in the mother, what do you need the Svek Svek of the Rokeach to be Mata the Eishes Kohen Muberes to come into the Ohel HaMeis? It's Poshet. Mutter for it to come into the Ohel HaMeis because the Tara Blua is not going to become Tameh anyway. The Uber is never going to become Tameh. So what could be the problem? Reb Chaim Oizer in his Tshuva Sachiezer wants to suggest that the answer to the Magen Avraham's Kasha really lies in a deeper understanding of what the Issur Tumas Kohanim is all about. He says, yes, the Lashon of the Pasuk is Lenefesh Lo Yitama Be'amav. It sounds like the Issur is an Issur Tumah. But maybe that's not the case. Chaim Oizer wants to suggest maybe the Issur Tumas Kohanim is not an Issur Tumah, it's really an Issur of Kreva L'Meis. It's an Issur of coming close to a Meis. And maybe we can say that even if the Uber, when he's swallowed up, when he's inside his mother, technically speaking, he's not going to become Tameh, because Tara Blua is not Metameh. He might not become Tameh, but if his mother is Ba'ol HaMeis, then he's Ba'ol HaMeis as well. Maybe it'll still be called Kreva L'Meis. He's coming close to a Meis. That's called klum. He's in the Ohel HaMeis mamish. So even if technically speaking the halacha is he doesn't become tamei, but maybe being in the Ohel HaMeis is called coming close to the meis, and maybe that's the isra of tumas kohanim. Even though the lashon of the pasuk sounds like it's an isra tuma, maybe it's not an isra tuma. It's really an isra of kreva l'meis. And the uber, even though he swallowed up within his mother's womb, maybe he really is coming close to the meis by coming into the Ohel of the Meis. So that's why the reason of the Magen Avraham is not enough. That's why we need the Svek Sveka. The Svek Sveka that the Rokeach set forth, that can even be matir, the woman coming into, that can even be matir, not only the Issa Tumah, not only Tumas Meis, but even Kreva L'Meis. That's why the Svek Sveka is necessary. But because we have to rely on the Svek Sveika, so then you have to consider other issues. Does the Svek Sveika apply bizman hazeh? L'mashal, if it's kalul hachadasha, if the woman has been pregnant for 9 months, so then there's no Sufik Nefel. So that Sufik no longer applies. If you can find out via ultrasound whether the woman has a Zachar and a Kev inside of her, so maybe that Sufik doesn't apply, the Sufik Zachar, Sufik Nekeva. Suffix. So if you're going to be Mekel based on the Svek Sveka, so then it's not as strong a Kula. If we'll take the Magen Avraham seriously, we'll say Tara Blue is not Metame, so then we're home free. There's no question that the woman would be allowed to go into the Ohel HaMeis. If we're going to rely on the Svek Sveka, so then it could be in certain circumstances that Svek Sveka is not going to apply. Svek Sveka might not be able to apply. Look, if something comes up and they can't have an ultrasound, you can't go for the ultrasound. So maybe you can't be Mavara at that particular moment. So then you can be Mekel. But if you know that something is coming up, at least there's a Kamasamatseva or something, they're going to have to go to the cemetery in another week, and she's going to want to go. So maybe in that circumstance, she should do an ultrasound to find out if she has a Zachar and a Kev inside of her. Yes?
If the baby's not going to come anyway, isn't that not its Isser, and then there's no problem?
The Chaim Oizer assumes that there's an Isser of Krev Lemes. So if there's an Isser on the... If there would be an Isser of Krev Lemes for a Godol, so then the Gedolim are Metsuvim on the Ketanim as well. Maybe on an Uber as well. It's a strange idea. The Uber is not Metsuvah b'mitzvahs. But a Ketan doesn't have a Chiv b'mitzvahs either, right? And yet, specifically regarding this Halacha, l'hazeh Gedolim al Ketanim. The Gedolim are Metsuvah to make sure that the Ketanim don't become Tameh. So here too, the Gedolim will be Metsuvah to make sure that the Uber doesn't become Tameh either. Not that the Uber doesn't become Tameh, but that the Uber won't violate his Isser of Tumas Kodesh. So if you understand the Isser is Krev L'Meis, then the Gedolim have to make sure that the Uber is not going to become Karov to a Meis. Yes?
In case where we are trying to be Mekel in certain circumstances, is there any possibility that you would also be Metsar if that's something that happened today or not?
L'chatchila, we wouldn't want to be Mekel for such a svar. I hear what you're trying to do, but l'chatchila, it's better not to be Mekel for the Ravid. There's no tzar mishpocha. She could just say that she's pregnant. It won't produce any tzar. If you say that the person can't visit, so even if you say that he's a kohen, but I'm not sure if it's an issue of feeling bad or that it'll make the chola feel better. Make the chola feel better, make the person who's visiting the chola feel better. Could be that's more of a tzarech gadol. Here, what's the big tzarech? She'll just say she's pregnant. She'll just say, I can't go. You know, that's it. If the wife were a kohen, there wouldn't be a shot. The wife's husband is not kohen, right? The wife's husband is a kohen. So the wife will say, bin a kohen oichet, right? I'm also a kohen. I'm not a kohen myself, but I have a kohen inside of me. So if the husband is not going, why should the wife have to go? Miss Tama, they're not gonna feel bad if the wife doesn't come. So she could just say that she's pregnant. She just doesn't want to because she doesn't want people to know. But that's not necessarily a reason to be mekel for the ravid. Yes.
So bizman is that we would assume with the ultrasound that one has a chiyuv to be mevarer with the ultrasound.
That's what many poskim assume. That you have if it's efshel avar, so you can't rely on a svek sveka. So here it's efshel avar, so why not? It's best to try to be mevarer. Yes.
According to Rav Chaim Oizer, so. Here are the things we said before about being in the same hospital, skeletons, would that become less simple?
Yes and no. If you're betumas oil with the maze, but yeah, that's not called coming close to the maze. You're in the same the same building. Same building that is coming close to the maze. What, it's coming close only to be in the same room? I don't think so. I think if you're in the same ohel with the maze, that's also called coming close. So the same ohel doesn't have to be the same room. Multiple rooms can have the same OL because there's the same shared roof. That's called being in the same OL with the mice. Yeah. I'm sorry?
The Kohen husband who wouldn't go with his, he doesn't want to go with his IT rush, shouldn't he also be Kulashish for the baby himself if he has to be
Yeah, but the Uber has to be in the hospital. What are you supposed to do? The Uber is a cholish yeshbo sakon. It's the first day or two. They're not gonna let you take the Uber out in the first day or two. That's a different story, but the Kohen is not a chola. So that's why the question applies to the coin. Yes?
How far would we take this up? For example, some people say flying.
Oh, so we're going to get the flying. Good. This might help the flying situation too. Yes?
This would apply to, let's say she wanted to go to the kvura of one of the seven relatives of hers, but not of the others. It would
only have a hetzer to go to one of the seven relatives of the
Uber. Right, she's mitzuvah to make sure that the Uber doesn't violate the Isur to Maskanim. So if it's her relative but not the Uber's relative, whatever the scenario is, so then she'd still be mitzvah not to go because of the Uber, not because of her.
Kfarim that are built on Olim, how does that work? Like, you know, there's definitely...
Kfarim built on Olim, what does that mean?
Olim built on Kfarim.
Right.
That's what I'd rather write it. Like, you know, for example, there are people who tend to have like, the Palisades Wall.
So we're going to talk about that too. Okay.
And Manhattan.
Yeah. We'll talk about that too. Manhattan is on a basic forest. Okay. Rabbi Shechter wanted to add in that article in the Sefer Be'ikvei Atzon Siman Lamed Hey, he wanted to add that maybe based on Reb Chaim Oiz's Yesod, you can explain a couple of other shittas as well. There's a discussion in the Poskim whether a coin is muzer on what's called cherev harehu kecholo. The rule is that if a piece of metal touches a cholol, it has the same din as the cholol. The cholol is avi avos hatuma, so the cherev takes on the status of the mace. Right? The cholol, the mace is avi avos hatuma, so then the cherev also, if the cherev touches something else, it'll make that into an av hatuma. So the question is a coin muzer not to touch a cherev that touched a mace? Is he muzer on cherev harehu kecholo or not? The Ramah quotes two days about this. This is in Simin Shin Samach Tes. So it's 12. Yeshomim the Kohanim Asurim Litami Lacherev Shenitma Bemeis Kolbo and others. Vyesh Mekilim Vachin Nogu Lahokal Vainis Armizah. Oh, the Ramah is Mekil. Right? The Ramah quotes the two days. He says that that the minig is to be Mekil, that the Kohen is not Muzer Acherev Arikachal. Tosis in Nazir quotes Rabbeinu Chaim Kohen. Tosis in Nazir and Daphnun Dalit. Rabbeinu Chaim Kohen wanted to say that Avada doesn't make any sense that Kohenim should be Muzer and Cherev Erekachol. He quotes a Pasuk in Sefer Yeshaya. The Pasuk says, Eze Bayis Asher Tivnu Li, and he makes a pun on the words. He says, if Kohenim would be Muzer and Cherev Erekachol, Eze Bayis Asher Tivnu Li, Ki Ein Bayis Asher In Shameis. Right, that's putting together a Pasuk in Sefer Yeshaya and a Pasuk in Parshas Bo. Right? How's a Kohen supposed to live? Every Bayis is going to have some kind of metal that touched someone, that touched the mace. So if a coin is muzer and cherev kachol, he's not going to be able to go home. It's the Rabbeinu Chaim Cohen. Not everyone agrees. The Ramah is mekel. Yeah.
So we're talking about touching, not being in where the sword is, right? We're talking about touching the sword.
Touching the sword, right?
And
touching
you assume
the sword.
It's impossible.
But mistama, even ba'ohel, the same would apply.
Is, even if you melt metal, it still maintains its tumah, right? It's not like.
If it's panim chadashos ba'ol kind, then it would be time. But I guess he's assuming that it's a play on words. I don't know. You know, he's for the effect. He was saying that there's no bias that the coin's not going to be able to come to. Meaning there is no bias that there's no watch in there that someone went to a levaya. You know, so someone went to a levaya wearing a ring or wearing a watch or wearing some kind of metal that becomes cherev harei kecholo. So the coin wouldn't be able to go into that bias. That
so
it would be
the
time, but oh hell,
that was mag, even if it was Tumas Ohel.
I think so. Even the Tumas Ohel, the rule of Cherev Erekachol should apply. So, what kind of a strange idea is this? Why should we assume that Kohanim are not Muzer and Cherev Erekachol? They become Tame, so why not Cherev Erekachol? Rabbi Shechter wanted to say that if you said that the Issa Tumas Kohanim is not an Issa Tuma, but it's an Issa Kravela Mace, so maybe you're not coming close to the Mace by touching or being in the Ohel with the Cherev Erekachol. The Mace is not here, he's long gone. So maybe that's not cool, coming close to a mace. So some wanted to suggest that maybe the solution to the coin going to medical school is cherev harei kecholo. What the coin should do is he should lend out his watch to a Yisrael who's going to go to a levaya. And the Yisrael will take it into the funeral home. He'll be metame the watch. Now the watch is in avatuma, and give it back to the coin. The coin's going to touch his. He's going to put on his watch again. No problem, because if the coin is not muzer on cherev harei kecholo, he can wear that watch. And if he wears the watch, then not only can he go in the same ohel with the mace, he can even touch the mason, because that's mamish tuma b'chiburin. He wasn't even pirish from the tuma. He can touch tuma forever at that point. Touch tuma forever, gevald. How can he do that? The answer is it's cherev harei kecholo. He's not muzer on that tuma. It's not krev lemeis, so there shouldn't be any problem. That's what some wanted to suggest. Rabbi Shechter felt that it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make any sense. It's a tired disaster, because the whole heter of cherev kachol is that it's not krev lemeis, because the mace is not here. What are you going to say? If the coin wears the cherev kachol, so now he can come in contact with the mace, mamish! He can come right next to the mace! Ein lecha krev lemeis godol mizeh! So it's like you're going to use cherev kachol based on the fact that the issa tumas konim is krev lemeis, to enable the mace to come as karov to the mace as possible. It just doesn't seem to make much sense. That's what Rabbi Shachter writes. So I don't think it's a reason to be mekel. But there are some. I have heard people who, over the years, when this idea first came out, there were those who wanted to be mekel based on this. I think most posts can assume that it's not really room for. There's no real room for kula based on this yisod. Okay. What's the halacha? Could a kohen drive on the road next to a cemetery? Let's say there are trees overhanging the road, trees from the cemetery overhanging the road, or the road was paved over an old cemetery, as someone mentioned. Can a kohen do something? Could he go in a car? So your gut reaction probably is, well, maybe the car is chotz, it's bifnei atuma. Maybe the car can separate between the tuma and the kohen, so then he won't become tamei. He won't become karav lemeis, if that's the nature of the isser. He won't become tamei. So lechara, there should be a problem with the isser of tumas kohen. Not so simple. At first glance, the car can't be chotz bifnei atuma. Can't separate. Why? For two reasons. First of all, the car is what we call an ohel zoruk. It's a moving ohel. The Gemara in Erevin in Sur 16 quotes Machlokas Tanaim whether an ohel zoruk is shmei ohel or not. Gemara says Anichnas leEretz ha'amim b'shita tevel migdal. Someone who leaves Eretz Yisrael and goes to Chutz Laretz in a box. Rebbe Metame, Rebbe Yossi, Rebbe Huda Metayer. Machlokas Tanoim, whether you become tummy in such a case or not. B'mai Kamiflugi says the Gemara, my sover ol zarek lashmeol, my sover ol zarek shmeol. Machlokas Tanoim, whether ohel zarek, a moving ohel, is called an ohel or not. We paskin that ol zarek lav shmeol, a moving ohel is not an ohel. So if the car is going to be moving, so then it's not going to be chotzis b'fantum. That's problem number one. Even if you'll say that ohel zarek shmei ohel, that a movable ohel really is called an ohel, but there still is a problem, because the car is made out of metal. It's made out of dvar ha-makablam tumah, and the rule is that a dvar ha-makablam tumah is not chotzis b'fantum tumah. So even if ohel zarek shmei ohel, it should be an ohel, but how can it be chotzis b'fantum tumah anyway? It's makabal tumah, and a dvar makabal tumah can't be chotzis b'fantum tumah. These are the two issues that the post can discuss. And there are those who talk on Mekel. But Sitz Eliezer has a tshuva. I think that's in the other packet. I don't have the Maramakam with me. But the Sitz Eliezer has a tshuva that he wants to say that maybe each one of these issues is not really such a problem. Maybe even if Ol Zarek Lav Shmei Ol, this is not an Ol Zarek. He quotes a Mishnah Lamelech who says that Ol Zarek Shmei Ohel is only if the Ohel is suspended in the air, like Shita Tevo Migdal. Being held by someone, but it's suspended in the air. But if the ohel is nigrar al gabe karka, that's not an ohel zorik. The whole ohel, right? The car is one unit. So if the car is rolling on the ground, maybe that's not called zorik. It's not called zorik. Then it can be chotze. It's moving, but maybe it's not called zorik because it's not suspended. It's rolling on the ground. The wheels are all part of the car. It's all one unit. So maybe even if ohel zorik lashmeil, this is not an ohel zorik. So it'll be shmei ohel. What's more, he quotes Rav Yosef Shal Natanson in the Sholem Eshev, wants to say that the din of Ol Zorek Lav Shmeol is only if it's not Darko Bekach. Right? But if it's Darko Bekach, that's not an Ol Zorek. Meaning, if the normal usage of the Ohel is by moving the Ohel, so that's not an Ol Zorek. Maybe even though it's Zorek, that's called Kavua. In the case of Shita Tevo Migdal, so the box doesn't move. There's no usage of the box that you move the box. The person is picking up the box and taking it into a makom tamei. But a car, if you're not going to move the car, what's the purpose of the car? Just to sit there. The purpose of the car is to move. So maybe you can say that the din of ol zarek lav shmei ol is only if it's not normal to move the ol. That's an abnormal use of the ol. It's not the most normal use of the ol. But if the normal use of the ol is to move the ol, so maybe that's not an ol zarek. So maybe it should be shmei ol. And the second issue that Sitz Eliezer wanted to be makel there too. What, you say that the car is made out of a davar ha-makabal tuma? He quotes a Rambam. The Rambam, in Hilchos Tumas Meis, Perek Yud Gimel Halacha Dalet, writes that even something that's makabal tuma, it's not in this set of makoros. The Rambam says even something that's makabal tuma can be chotzis b'fnei atuma if it's notui ke'ohel. If it's made out of a gag and mechitzos, both a ceiling and walls, so then even if it's makabal tuma, it's chosis b'fnei atuma. That's the Rambam Shita. So the Tzitz Eliezer says, why can't we be makel for the Rambam? The car has both a gag and mechitzas. It's not the ka'ol, it looks like an oel. So if it looks like an oel, even if it's mekabel tuma, it should be able to be chotzes with mea tuma. So the Tzitz Eliezer is mekel. He says he thinks there's room for kula. But the Chazon Ish is machmer, many achron and many poskim are machmer. So if you're talking about driving over a Jewish cemetery, if you know that the cemetery was a Jewish cemetery and they paved the road over it, it's very questionable to be mekel. Very hard to, even though the Tzitz Eliezer would say maybe there's room to be mekel, shver. There's what to say that maybe the kosher shouldn't be able to be chotzes b'fnei atum. So many poskim would be machmir in that case. If you're going over, right? If it's a road that's been paved over the cemetery, I heard there was a Home Depot in Queens that was paved over a cemetery. Some people were machmir never to go to that Home Depot. I'm sorry.
On
Har Zeisim, they paved over
the
cemetery.
The road that goes literally in between there is paved over.
A Jewish cemetery.
Yeah.
Really?
The Jordanians in.
I didn't know that. Wow. Wow. So I'm not sure if the Kohanim are careful not to go over that road. I'm not sure. If they're.
He's talking about even Goyim or only a Jewish cemetery.
I'm saying if it's a Jewish cemetery, then there's certainly room to be machmer. You're talking about a Goyish cemetery, so then, right, so with the Home Depot case, Stam, it was a Goyish cemetery. We can assume Rove Mason in Chutz Laretz are Goyim, so maybe there's more room to be mekel by Goyim, but certainly in Eretz Yisrael, if we're talking about Mesa Yisrael, then you'd have to be machmer. Sorry?
Saying the Palestine model is the same.
Probably Goyim. Right, it probably would be Goyim. Yeah. How about if you're talking about driving on the road next to the cemetery? There are just trees overhanging from the cemetery to the road, from the road to the cemetery. So that could be more kal. Why is that more kal? Well, what kind of an oel are we talking about over here? Whether the trees make a, whether the trees are defined as an oel or not. So the trees are defined as an oel in certain cases. That's the Shulchan Aruch and Simen Shin Samach Tesifal. That's the beginning of Source 12. If the Elon is hanging over the ground, right, even if the branches are separate from each other, and there's tuma tachas echa mehem, ve'ein yodua tachas eze, then you're not supposed to go under the tree. Or if there are stones that are hanging out, you're not supposed to go under the stones, because you don't know that the tuma is tachas echa mehem. So this is the problem. The problem is if you have a tree that's overhanging from the cemetery to the road, so is it mutter to drive on the road? You don't know if you're gonna be in the same oel as the kever. If you look carefully at the Lashon LeShulchan Aruch, though, it sounds like the whole problem is because of a suffik. It's a suffik whether you're gonna be in the same oel as the kever. But if you know for sure that you're not gonna be in the same oel as the kever, it sounds like maybe there wouldn't be a problem. That's what the Shach says. The Shach quotes from the Prisha, who says, Ava b'she'en kana l'safek tumah ha'koin muzer alav. It's a safek tumah. You don't know where the mace is buried. But it sounds like if you know for sure where the mace is buried, there shouldn't be a problem. So if you have a situation where the cemetery is made in such a way that the trees are at the edge of the Beis HaKfaris, and some branches overhang the Beis HaKfaris, and other branches, different branches, you look, it's not one, you know, it's not a very thick foliage, so it's not like you look at it as one roof. There are multiple branches, and the branch that's over the road is not the branch that's over the kever. If that's the case, based on the Shach's understanding of the Shulchan Aruch, maybe there wouldn't be a problem. Because the branch that's over the kever is not the same ohel as the branch that's over the road. So you're not in the same ohel as the mace, so maybe there might be room to be mekel.
Wouldn't we say lavud to connect all the branches to become one gag? Same guy. Yes, it's the one branch here and one branch there, but the lavud of all the foliage, assuming that there's lavud.
It's not so simple that there will be lavud there. There are many, that relates to another shaila, that what thickness do the branches have? Many branches are not going to even have a tefach to them. They'll probably be less than a tefach. So they might not be maybe a satuma anyway. So you might have some thick branches, but they're not necessarily... They're not necessarily going to be mitzdarif together. They could be on multiple levels. They're not really together. And to say a lavud through the trunk of the tree, say a lavud through the trunk of the tree that the branches are going to are going to be mitzvahed through the trunk of the tree. I'm not sure that we look at it like that. Yes?
Well, one hector, is it possible that one hector would be the day that says, for oil zoren, it doesn't have to be connected to the ground?
The tree is not zar because it's still attached to the ground. Even though it's moving, it's still attached to the ground.
That
it doesn't have to be suspended. Meaning, even if it's moving, it can be an old zar.
Like the car, we're able to use
right.
The car, right?
Right.
So, no, the car you can't because it's connected to the ground.
Right.
So let's say it's moving. So if the tree is swaying.
But the car is not attached to the ground. The tree is attached to the ground. So I think it's more of an oil than the car. But the point is, it's not necessarily the same oil. The oil that's over the cabin might not be over the individual, might not be over the road, so that there might be room for cool over there. Let's say the kever and the road are on the same side of the trunk, right? You see the matzevas on the same side of the trunk as the road itself. In that case, you really do have a problem, right? That's the Ilan HaMesach literally with you, right? It's together with you. So, based on what we're saying, there should be a problem in that case. So, Dayan Weiss, in his Sefer Minchas Yitzchak, his Chuvas Minchas Yitzchak, Chelek Dalet, Simen Lamed Aleph, he wants to suggest maybe there would be room to be Mekel, at least by Mesei Akum. He's Mitzarev, a bunch of coolers together. He says, first of all, Me'ikar Adin, maybe there's no Tumas Ol by Mesei Akum. And maybe if the branches are not, don't have a thickness of a tefach, so then it's only maybe a satuma to the part that is actually a thickness of a tefach, and the part that you're going over in the road might be much thinner than the part of the branch that's attached to the trunk. He's also mitzayef that maybe the din of ohel hamshacha might only be midrabanan. And he says that the Ravid holds Bizman Azeh Kohanim Anat Muzer and Isser Tumas Kohanim. Dayan Weiss likes to put, he's putting together a lot of different coolers. B'Sha'as Adchak, a difficult situation. I think it was some kind of a shayla that the Kohen had to take the bus. And if he wouldn't, if he was the Rimachmer, then he would have no way to get home. So, to be Mekel in such a circumstance, Dayan Weiss was willing to be Mitzarif a number of different coolers together. But only by Mesei Akum. By Mesei Yisrael, he wasn't willing to be Mekel. By Mesei Akum, if the branches are somewhat thinner toward the road, so then maybe it could be Mekel to put a number of coolers together to be Mekel. Some may say Akum, the Rama by may say Akum, and they're Rivet, and maybe the branch is not maybe a Satoma anyway, so maybe then you could be Mekel. But it's B'makom Tzorach Godol. Without a Tzorach Godol, if the Kever is going to be on the same side as the road, then it's certainly better to be Machmi. What's the din of flying in an airplane over a cemetery? So there, you're not talking about just Ohel Hamshacha, which might be Midrabana. There, you're Mahil Alameis Mamish, which is a Tumah Daraisa. So, is there any room to be Mekel? Just for Mesei Akum, you can be Mekel for Mesei Akum. It's quite questionable. Some poskim want to say maybe the reason to be Mekel by airplanes is because they make airplanes out of very light substances. They don't make them out of metal. They make them out of lighter materials so that the airplanes will be more fuel efficient. That's a big machlokes haposkim, whether lighter materials, other metals like aluminum and other things, are they included within the six types of metal that the Torah counts at the end of Parshas Matos? The only metals that are obligated in Tfilas Kelim, you look in the Torah, you get the sense that there's six metals, right? Gold, silver, copper, iron, tin, lead, exactly. Six metals, that's it. So the question is, are these just representative? Are these just examples? Or are they exhaustive? So the Gra, the Vilna Gaon, says that they're exhaustive. These are the only metals that are defined as mateches. Everything else is not a metal. Even if they're on the table, right? The table of elements. I'm sorry? Periodic table, exactly. And even if they share the same properties as metal, they're not going to be defined as metal. But the Tiferes Yisrael, in his Yivakesh Das, in his Akdoma, to say the Taras, he says, no, these are representative, they're only examples, but the fact is that if you have something else that shares the properties of metal, so then it'll have the din of metal. Yeah. So, if you're going to be machmer for the Tiferes Yisrael, so then even if the airplanes are made out of aluminum, you still have to be machmer. But the emes is, forget about whether the plane is made out of aluminum, there still are screws and other bolts and other things that's clearly are made out of metal, not made out of aluminum. They make the bolts and the screws out of steel, right? So if you make the bolts and the screws out of steel, out of metal, steel is part iron, so then that's still a davar makabel tuma. The Taz writes in Yeridaya that if you mamid the oil with davar makabel tuma, even if the main part of the oil is not a davar makabel tuma, that's still not going to be chotis b'fei tuma. That's called that the oil is makabel tuma. Even if the oil itself is not makabel tuma, but you're mamed, you're supporting the oil with the davar makabel tuma, that's also going to be a problem. So even if the airplane is made out of lighter materials, azma, that shouldn't solve any problem, because the airplane has metal in it. That might not be the ikar material, but it has metal in it anyway. Rabbi Shechter wanted to say that maybe the kula is based on Reb Chaim Moshe's understanding of the Issa Tumas Kohanim. If you say the Issa Tumas Kohanim is only to come close to the mace, crave the mace, so then you could suggest that when the kohen is flying in the airplane, it's going over the cemetery at 1,000 feet, at thousands of feet. That's not called coming close to the mace. He might be mahil on the mace, but maybe that's not viewed as coming close to the mace. If it's not viewed as coming close to the mace, then there shouldn't be any problem of Tumas Kohanim. Even though the kohen might become tummy, tuma. Bokas va'ola, he becomes tamei. But even if he's becoming tamei, there might not be a problem for the kohen to become tamei because he's not being miskarev to the mace. When the cat's kola was dedicated, Rabbi Shechter decided to say this shir on Tumas Kohanim. That's the shir he said at the dedication of the Marcus Katz kola. Marcus Katz is a kohen. He lived in Mexico and he flew for the dedication of the kola. Rabbi Shechter decided to say a shir whether it was mutter for Marcus Katz to fly in from Mexico in order to come to Shnei. He came out Lakula Baruch Hashem. That there wasn't a problem for a Kohen to fly over Kvarim because it's not called coming, and he didn't engineer it that he would come out Lakula. He knew what he was going to say. But he came out Lakula that there's no problem of a Kohen flying over Mason because that's not called coming close to a Mason. That's the nature of the Isra Tumas Kohenim, coming close to the Mason. For a while, there were those who pointed out that the flights leaving Ben-Gurion Airport in Tel Aviv were flying over a cemetery in Cholon. So some of the Kohanim said, Gewalt, how can we leave Eretz Yisrael? Maybe there are other reasons why you shouldn't leave Eretz Yisrael. But this is a new reason that you can't leave if you're a Kohen, because you're going to violate the Isra Tumas Kohanim. So this created a big uproar. So there was one celebrated Kohen, I think, who was dying on the London Beis Din, who wanted to be put in a body bag. He wanted to take a flight from Eretz Yisrael back to London, and he said, put me in a body bag and they'll have someone tape it up in some way, and based on the din of Tzomit Posil, it won't be Mekabel Tumah, he'll be in the body bag. So and suffice it to say, the airline did not allow him to do this. Maybe because of the publicity that they would get if they would put their passengers in a body bag before they even took off. This episode generated a big literature about Tumas Kohanim. I think the final maskana, if the wool of the dust settled, I think the final maskana that some of the Kohanim pointed out is that the late night flights out of Ben Gurion do not go over the cemetery. They take a different route for security reasons, not for Kohanim reasons. So they don't fly over the cemetery. So the best flight, the only flight that the Kohen should be on, is a late night flight. You take an 11 o'clock flight or a 1 o'clock in the morning flight, you shouldn't have any problem flying over the cemetery. That's what they tell me. So a Kohen should avoid flying out of Ben-Gurion in a daytime flight. If he flies at night, late at night, apparently for security reasons, they can't fly over the cemetery, not because of the cemetery, but because it's close to an airfield or something. So they take a different route. That's what I was told. So if a Kohen takes a late night flight, then he won't have the problem at all. How about flying in an airplane which is carrying a dead body in the cargo? And the dead body obviously is Eretz Yisrael. They want to bury him in Eretz Yisrael. So what could you say? The cooler Rabbi Shechter has to... You have a question? Yeah.
I don't know if this Kribel Meis anything to do with going towards the Meis as opposed to going away from it?
It's defined the way that the Torah defines it. You know, we can't really define what Kribel Meis means. Being in the same ohel as the mace generally is krevel mace, but there are circumstances where you're so far removed from the mace that might not be called krevel. That's what Rabbi Shechter wants to suggest. But if the mace is in the cargo, he's not in the same area as the passengers, chalila. But that's not krevel mace. You're not so far away from the mace. Tuma bakas, so it goes up to the passenger area too. So what can you do? You can't be on a flight that's going to be carrying a mace in the cargo. The coin can't be on such a flight. So there were those who wanted to suggest maybe what they should do is they should engineer a box that's made out of a material that's not mekabel tumah, like plastic. Engineer a box that's made out of something that's not mekabel tumah, and put the mace inside that box. Put the mace inside the box. That'll be chotzitz b'fnei atumah. And if it's chotzitz b'fnei atumah, then the tumah will not be bokas v'ole. It won't come into the passenger area. The kohen won't become tameh, and it won't be an iser of krevus either, because he's completely separate. He's in a different ohel, and the tumah is not coming anywhere near there, because it's stopped. It's a hefsek. It's chotzitz b'fnei atumah, so there shouldn't be any problem. That's what some wanted to suggest. I think for a while they actually used this box. I'm not sure if they still do. They do? Okay. There are many poskim who assume that the box does not solve the problem. Why doesn't it solve the problem? First of all, the box is in Ohel Zorak. It's no less of an Ohel Zorak than the airplane. They quoted that the Chelkas Yaakov, Rav Yaakov Breish, has a tshuva where he suggests that a relative Ohel Zorak is not an Ohel Zorak. Since relatively speaking, the box is not moving relative to the passengers, it's not an Ohel Zorak. That's what he wanted to suggest. But others said, what does that mean? The reason why we say that an Ohel Zorak is Lav Shmei Ohel is because it's moving. It's moving. So the box is moving. It's not stationary. It's not standing still. So just because relative to the passengers it's not Zorak, we'll say that it's not an Ohel Zorak. Many poskim are
moving too.
What?
It's like a Kohen running away from a flying casket.
Okay, great, but if the casket is flying, so it's not mafsik b'fnei atumah, so the kohen is running away, everyone is running, but the kohen becomes tamei, and he violates the iser. Just because the casket is moving, that's not called zark, because relative to the kohen, it's not moving? That's actually a very good point. If the kohen is somehow flying over the casket, he's not in an airplane with the casket, would you say then that the oil of the casket is not moving? Of course the casket is moving. So if you say that an Ohel Zorak is Lav Shmei Ohel, l'chara the coin is definitely tamei. So what? So because the coin is in an airplane, he's in a closed container, right? He's in a closed area, and the casket, the box, happens to be in the same place. So then, because the casket is not moving relative to the coin, so therefore it's not an Ohel Zorak. Why? Why? But it's still moving. So if it's moving, it should be an Ohel Zorak, and Ohel Zorak is Lav Shmei Ohel. So there were those who were not convinced by the Chelkas Yaakov. Others wanted to say that even if the box is not an Ohel Zorak, right, and it will be chotzitz b'fnei atumah, but the box is leaning on the airplane. Right? The box is not standing by itself, it's sitting on the plane. And the plane is mekabel tumah. Why is the plane mekabel tumah? Because it's made out of screws and bolts that are metal. So even if the box itself is not an Ohel Zorak, it should be Shmei Ohel, but it's not Shmei Ohel anyway, because we kept on saying that even something that should be an Ohel, if it's made out of metal, which is a Dover Mekabel Tumah, that's not Chotzitz B'fnei Atumah. So if you want to be makel for the Rambam, that if it's not Ika Ohel, it'll be Chotzitz B'fnei Atumah, even though it's made out of a Dover Mekabel Tumah, great. Tzitz Eliezer will be makel. But many are not makel for that Rambam. So even if the box is not an Ohel Zorak, it really should be Chotzitz B'fnei Atumah, but it's still nismach on the airplane. That's the lashon. It's leaning on the airplane. It's being supported by the airplane. So maybe we should say that the box is viewed as a davar makabel tumah as well. It's no different than mamid b'davar makabel tumah. You're supporting the box with the airplane. You're not supporting the box with the airplane. The box is made of its own material. But because it's leaning on, it's sitting on the airplane, maybe that should be the same as mamid b'davar makabel tumah. This is what Rav Shlomo Zalman writes in a tshuva in the Minchas Shlomo, in the Miluim, in Simenayin Beis, Oz Dalet. He writes in a different context. He writes this kind of idea. And even if you have something that's not Mekabel Tumah, but if it's sitting on something that's Mekabel Tumah, that's like Mamed B'davar Mekabel Tumah. Not everyone agrees, because it's very different from the case of the nuts and the bolts. You know, the nuts and the bolts that are made out of metal, the item would fall apart if you take out the nuts and the bolts. So that you can say is Mamed B'davar Mekabel Tumah. But the fact that the box is sitting on the plane and the plane is viewed as a davar mekabel tumah because it's made of nuts and bolts, but if you take away the plane, the box is not going to disintegrate. It'll be a box. It'll be in midair and it'll fall down to the ground. But it's not going to cease to be a box. It's not going to fall apart if you take it out of the plane. So some might say that's not called mamad davar mekabel tumah. It's a shayla in poskim. But there were those who wanted to say that you can't be makel for this box either because it's an Ohel Zorak, or even if it's not an Ohel Zorak, it's still, since it's even if it's made out of a substance that's not makabel tuma, but it's sitting on the plane, which is a davar makabel tuma, even if the plane itself is made out of aluminum, and maybe you could be makel for the gra, that aluminum is not a matechas, it's not a metal, but nevertheless, because it's also made out of nuts and bolts that are metal, so then it's like mame b'davar makabel tuma. So now you have the box that's sitting on the davar makabel tuma, it can't be choses with nehat tuma. So there were many who wanted to say that the box is not going to solve the problem. So the best solution to the problem is not to be involved, not to get oneself involved in the problem to begin with. You can either fly with an airline that doesn't carry mason, or I'm told that from Newark, no airline, even El Al, will not carry mason from Newark. They only carry mason from JFK. So if the Kohen flies from Newark, then he won't have any problem of going on a plane with mason. So those are the two easy solutions that a Kohen can use. There are those who try to call. There's a number of people who keep track of whether they are mason on the plane or not. So okay, if you want to use you want to book a flight and not know whether there's going to be a mason on the plane, and you know, take a chance. So you can do that. It's a little expensive to do something like that. If it turns out that there's masons on the plane, you're not going to be able to take the flight. They're not going to refund you for the flight. So the best thing is to take an airline that doesn't. If you're leaving from JFK, the best thing is to take an airline that will not have mason on it, or to leave from an airport where they're not going to have mason. Yes.
Why can't why can't they build a box that has a tefach above the body of the mace, so that even if it's a map, there won't be a if there's a tefach above between the body of the mace and the gag of the casket, won't that be chutzitz?
All right. So the question is whether that's called a kever sasim. Is it called a kever sasim at least for the time that the cargo area is closed? If it's a kever sasim, so even with the tefach, it's not going to be chotis b'fei atumah anyway.
Why ask the coin to ask? Why does he have to assume that there's going to be? They're not going to announce that, by the way, we're taking a dead person with us on the plane.
Yeah.
You know, why does he have to ask?
If you can be Mavara, first of all, right, that's a good point. Maybe you have a chiv to be Mavara. And secondly, you get yourself in a bad situation. I heard a story. Rabbi Willig was once called by someone who took a KLM flight and stopped in Europe somewhere. And the person, you know, went into the airport to wait for the flight to be ready. And he saw there was a group of people who looked very sad. He was looking to his. He talked to them. He said, "What's the problem?" So they said, "Well, you know, our relative passed away, and we're taking him to be buried in Eretz Yisrael." So he called Rabbi Willig. He said, "Gevalt, I'm a Kohen. What do I do?" Rabbi Willig told him, "You can't get on the flight." So he had to change his flight. So you can play Russian roulette and assume everything's going to be okay, and sometimes you'll be in a situation where it's not going to be okay, and you'll be out a lot of money. So it's definitely better to be Mavar if you can be, and it could even be that there's a chiyuv to be Mavar if it's possible. Yes?
Why is it worse to be in the top of a plane with the body and the cargo? It's like, why is it any different than being in the hospital room floor if the doors are closed?
Because the plane is moving.
Between it's not like there's too much in this stuff, like.
If the oil is an oil zarek, so then it's not going to be chosesh b'nei tuma. That's the whole idea. It's not going to separate. If the oil is moving, so then it might not separate from the tuma, and then the kohen is going to become tuma. Yes.
If the kohen is already come in, so does he have a chiyuv to stay away from another dead body?
Well, if he's parish b'nei tuma and we're not somech on the raivit, so then yes, he does have a chiyuv.
Is it separate history every time he comes?
Yeah. According to the Rambam, he even gets malchus for it every time. Yes.
It's the same day that he had Tameh.
Right. The Rambam says even if it's the same day, if he's Piresh, he's not allowed to become Tameh again. The Ravid says if it's the same day, then there's no problem because he's not Mosef Tamal Tamasa. I think so. I think that's what the Pesach Tshuva quotes, that we hold like the Rambam, that the Kohen is not allowed to become Tameh again if he's Piresh Ben Atum.
Did you see this picture of the news?